So when we come to this third Sunday in the season of Advent, when the church gives us this command to rejoice, perhaps we can be left wondering, well, how do we do this? How do we go about living our lives in such a way? When we're given these rather interesting examples, that prophetic and wonderful declaration from the 61st chapter of the prophet Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord God has anointed me, and he has sent me to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives, to announce the year of the Lord's favor." Words, of course, that our Lord Jesus himself chose as his opening address when he stood up there in the synagogue in Nazareth. We read about it in the fourth chapter of the Gospel of Luke. Declaration about what Jesus in his ministry and life was about. And he used those words of Isaiah as a kind of a mission statement. And then we have the figure of John the Baptist, this entirely enigmatic kind of figure. What does John have to say to us with all of this sense of the negativity, all this sense of taking people away from the power of the temple, taking them out into the wilderness, preaching this whole sense of purification and reform? In the midst of all of that, I think it's the agenda that Paul gives us in the second reading today that really marks the scene for what it is that this Sunday is about, what it is that the church calls us to ponder and reflect upon. And what we have in these few short verses that Paul gives us, here at the end of the very first letter that he wrote, the first letter to the church in Thessalonica. This was a letter written probably around the year 50, 51. It's the very first Christian writing that we have in the New Testament. And so he's wanting to give these short, succinct, easy to remember declarations, commandments to this early Christian community, to keep them on the straight way, to allow them to experience all that God has promised for them, but to do so in a way that they're able to steer a way through in the murkiness of life. I don't like the Jerusalem Bible's translation today. So I first just want to read from the NRSV, the New Revised Standard Version. It's a much more powerful and succinct translation. So the first verse, there's two words: rejoice always. Now that may seem, you know, a slightly strange kind of thing for the church to ask us to do, for Paul to command us to do. It's even weirder in the Jerusalem: be happy at all times. No, it's not about happiness. It's not about this psychological state, you know, revving ourselves up and ensuring that we're always on this high. No, it's this sense, when in the midst of darkness, in the midst of all the kinds of things that the world will throw at us, it's having this sense, this attitude, this desire. No, in the midst of all of this, in the midst of all the suffering that Paul experienced, to rejoice, to open ourselves to the God of love, to open ourselves to the possibilities of things that are so much more than we can ever ask for, we can ever imagine. So rejoice always. The second commandment in verse 17 is pray without ceasing. And again, that can seem kind of a weird thing to ask. I mean, how can we possibly do that? You know, we all live such busy lives. We all get caught up in so many other things. But Paul himself knew that. Paul was always, you know, traveling from one place to another. He had to sustain himself through his own work as a tent maker. He had to do all of these things in order to sustain his life, to proclaim the gospel, just to fulfill that central mission that he understood himself to have. But in the midst of that, he found this way to pray. Not necessarily only in the times when he went to the temple, when he went to the synagogue. What we're called to do is, again, just to have that remembrance of God. I mean, one of the ways of doing that is plugging into that ancient Christian practice of using the Jesus Prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on me. A simple mantra that we can reflect on and take upon our mind and our lips regularly throughout the day as a way of remembering the presence of the Lord. Remembering this sense of being called as a people of prayer to follow the Lord. Verse 18 then, it's the only verse that has any kind of explanation, any kind of a phrase that builds upon these simple declarations, these simple commandments. Give thanks in all circumstances. So that's the commandment. And the explanation, the reason why we should do these three things is told, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Give thanks in all circumstances. I mean, Paul knew what it was to suffer. He gives a list of all of the things that he experienced and suffered in his letter to the Galatians. You know, all of the times he was shipwrecked. All the times when mobs turned on him and stoned him. All the times when he experienced deprivation, when he went without food and drink, when he was left abandoned, when people had stabbed him in the back. All of these things that he had experienced. And yet, somehow in the midst of that, he found this space to give thanks constantly, to have this sense, no, in the midst of all of this, my desire, my heart will be about thanksgiving. And then these two kind of commandments that are about the presence of the Spirit in our church. The first in verse 19, do not quench the Spirit. And then do not despise the words of prophets. This kind of sense, this call for us as a church to really be a people of hope. To be a people that understand that the Spirit of God is at work in our church. The Spirit of God is constantly around us and within us, calling us to new things, inviting us to look in different directions, asking us as a church to be a people who actually step out of our comfort zone, to be a people that understand that when the Spirit of God is at work within us, then the church and the way that we respond to the Lord may be different, may involve different ways of opening ourselves to all that God has called us to do and to be. There will be prophetic voices in the church. There will be people who have been gifted by that Spirit to proclaim in particular ways new directions, new things to look for. So Paul says, don't despise that work. Don't despise that action. If you sense within your heart that there's something there that's burning away, something deep within you that God has planted upon your heart, this fire that's in your belly that won't be quenched, then hear that as a prophetic voice of the Lord. Hear that as a call from the Lord, that this is one of the ways that the Spirit of God may be moving within your heart. Because Paul then says, but test everything. Don't just accept any kind of movement, any kind of word as necessarily from the Lord. The first thing is to test it. The first thing is to really open ourselves to what God is doing in this situation. And then these two essential parts of this that round out these eight commandments. Hold fast to what is good and abstain from every form of evil. Cling, hold fast. You know, if you find something that's good, if you find something that's helpful, if you find a way of prayer, if you find a spiritual writer that brings life and brings fruit to your soul, if you find a style of music that is helpful, that brings that life and encouragement, then don't let it go. Hold fast to that. Cling to that. Allow that to be a sign and source for you of all that God is calling us to do and to be. But reject anything that is evil. Reject anything that is not of God's Spirit. And then this beautiful benediction. This prayer that Paul prays upon this church. Once we've internalized and once we've taken on board these eight different attitudes of heart that mark this season of Advent, then he prays for the church. He prays for us. So may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the hope of this season of Advent. That is the hope of the Christian people. And why do we have this hope? Why can we cling to this? Why do we believe and trust that this is what God is doing with his church? The final line that Paul gives us today: for the one who calls you is faithful, and he will do this. So as a way of really celebrating this season of Advent, as a way of reflecting upon the way that God is calling this Christian church to live this new way of life, I invite us to reflect upon these words of Paul today. 9 simple verses, only 41 words in the original Greek language, but powerful declarations, powerful reminders, things that we can internalize, things that we can take upon our hearts to really guide us to be and to make this season of Advent to truly be a season of hope, a season not of discouragement, but of being lifted up so that indeed we can rejoice always.